It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 307. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have one I'm going to play later on. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can send me an email with your tech questions, suggestions for future show topics, maybe answering questions that I pose that I'm going to have tonight. The email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Also, don't forget the wiki. Lots of work went into that from listeners, Barbara and Winston. The wiki is mtswiki.com, which has links to all of the archives and lots of great information about the show. And then you can follow me on Twitter, so find out when I'm going to do a surprise show or when I'm appearing next. And I have lots of things happening this week if you check the main website. But my Twitter account is Mike Tech Show, so twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. This week, Friday night, I'll be co-hosting Computer America. And that's at computeramerica.com if you want to listen live. And then also Saturday, the Great Tech Debate. So I'm going to be a guest with Steve Cherubino, and all of these shows you can follow and watch them live on Ustream on the channel. If you're in the chat and watching the stream right now, it'll be the same channel. I got so much to get to. I have lots of solutions I want to talk about, especially the printer problem that everybody responded to from last week for a client. Before we get started, you have to meet with clients and colleagues. But the cost of an average trip to travel could be thousands of dollars. You can save all that money by subscribing to GoToMeeting, the ultimate online service, for one flat rate per month. So $49 a month gets you unlimited meetings, voice over IP, and you can present your material. You want to demonstrate something, collaborate online. It is the greatest service with the ultimate tools. I use GoToMeeting all the time. It's fabulous. You have to give it a try, and you can do that and get 30 free days. But you got to go to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Go to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast to get your free 30-day trial. One thing I ran into this week with a client, I was over at the home office of a client whose Outlook, every time we clicked on the icon, Outlook brought an error that it could not open. And a little Googling, I discovered, and you know, I often forget about this, and this is why I wanted to bring it up. There is such a wealth of command line switches for Outlook. And the first link for tonight is a link to all of those great command line switches that we often forget about, like opening up Outlook with a /A to suppress all the add-ins from a loading. The command line switch that saved me with my client was /resetNavPane that clears and regenerates the navigation pane for the current profile, which was corrupt. And that command line switch enabled me to get the fix. There is so many command line switches that could get you out of trouble. Check them out. I know some of them will come in handy. What I like doing is building a shortcut on the desktop to the command line of opening up Outlook from the right folder. And then it's very easy to just add in that command line to the shortcut to just add the switch and then save it and then click and then try it. So that's a great way to do it. You can also do it from the run command and add the switch. one of those links that you should bookmark and save and always have, maybe with your portable Firefox or wherever you save great links for. If you run into a problem with Outlook, there's probably a command line switch that will get you out of that problem. A great program that came up in the post show last week, it's called Ninite. And the website has little checkboxes to all of your favorite programs, whether it be developer tools like Python, JDK. They put FileZilla in there. I don't call that a developer tool, but compression programs, 7-Zip, I love it. Utilities like CCleaner, Launchy, RealVNC, Steam, Dropbox, uTorrent. How about Flash, Java, Super Anti-Spyware, Malwarebytes, AVG? Well, if you want to load all those programs, like how about Firefox, Chrome, Skype, VLC, which is an incredible media player, you can check the boxes of all the programs you want to install, and then you can download one installer that you launch, and it will install all those programs. So you just go to the site, that's ninite.com, check your favorite programs, click the button Get Installer, and it will install all those programs. And a lot of them I use on a regular basis, like CD Burner XP, Revo Uninstaller, Evernote. Lots of great programs. I highly recommend that. And it's often, I forget about this. A few people mentioned this. I don't know why it came up, but in the post-show chat last week, it came up. Definitely a great program to mention. Last week, I made a plea for help with a client that had an annoying printer problem. And to the rescue, all of you, there are so many responses that I'm going to go through them because a lot of them are great links and great ideas for printer problem solutions. But the one that fixed it, and I got a couple people set this in, but the one I got was from James, who's read in the chat, and he sent me the following lines to put into a batch file and just execute it. And it was simple: net stop spooler, because you want to stop the spooler service. And I did that and started the spooler service and did a lot of things, but I didn't do the following, which was to delete everything in the printer's directory that is located in Windows System 32 spool printers, and you want to empty that directory. Well, when I executed this, it could not open the printer's directory, and I got a message that the directory was corrupt or damaged. And then I started the spooler, and I was like, well, wait, let me try to, you know, navigate to the printer's directory. It wouldn't open. So this clearly was the problem that was causing, the root cause of why my client could not print locally to a USB connected printer. And I'm not going to go through all the things I tried. You can listen to last week's show. All I had to do was rename that directory because I couldn't delete it. I couldn't open it. I couldn't delete it, but I could rename it. So I renamed it to printers.old. Then I created a new empty directory called printers. Once I did that, everything worked and life was good. And that was excellent. So something corrupted. There was a print job that corrupted that directory. So keep that in mind. That's a great solution. And we have so many others. This is from Kate. On your printer problem, I'm sure you've already tried this, but you asked us to state the obvious, which I did. Did you try a different USB cable? Well, actually, I did, but that should absolutely be on your list of things to try. Also, I got it that someone else was able to print to this printer, but can this XP workstation print to a different printer? Because if so, swap the printers. I did not try another printer, but I bet you, had I got another printer and tried it, since the printer's directory was corrupt, I probably wouldn't have been able to print to it because everything, all the jobs are going to be spooled into that directory and it was corrupt. Was this workstation ever able to print to this printer? Yes, it was, and it was printing phenomenally. It was great. And what happened just before it stopped being able to do that? I tried to get that out of my client, but it was very difficult. Well, there's also a link that Kate sent me from Jason's website at fantasticfreeware.com, and it's called Stalled Printer Repair. I got a few recommendations for that, and that was going to be the next thing that I was going to try, but a great utility that I am going to have a link to. Here's another follow-up from Kate, and she sent me a link to the huge PDF for my printer that had the problem. Thank you, Kate. This was from Paul. I've seen the same thing you are dealing with, the printer you are having problems with. I believe it has something to do with the .4 versus USB driver. I think the original got overwritten and it's a pain to resolve. I'm sure there is a way to fix it, but I usually get frustrated and just reinstall the OS to fix it. Oh boy, I really didn't want to start and redo the system if I could avoid it. Anyway, the .4 versus USB, that is something to also look at because I've noticed that. And I guess it depends on the printer manufacturer and the driver they load, because some systems I've seen the default port be .4 and other ones I've seen to be USB. So very interesting, and I've never figured out which one is which, and certainly something to look at. This is a link also from the St. Paul, and he is from Texas. He said, I found this article on HP's website, and I believe it's related to the printing problem you're having. Give it a look, and I will link that. Jorge sent in a link from Microsoft with one of those links that fixes the problem, and it's a fix-it where you can download the MSI and actually run it on the system to fix the problem. So I like that, and that was to a printer repair solution. From Steve, and he says, my tip for non-functioning printers is check the settings, printers, and faxes to see if there are two listings of your printer. If there are, try designating the copy as the default printer. Hope this helps. Well, that wasn't the trouble, as we know, but certainly something to look at. This is another one for Clear Print Spore, and this was a great from Ed, and I'm going to have a link to that. A different Paul who says, hi, Mike, I've been listening for about a year now. Thank you for the great show and the sustained effort. Just a thought regarding the HP printing issue you mentioned in show 306. Have you tried to run a system restore on the system? That was on my list of things to try, which I think is a great idea. And thank you for that, Paul, because I had that on my list on Tuesday, where first I wanted to try that batch file, and then it was going to be the printer utility. And then it was going to be do a system, you know, go to a system restore from a point in time before whatever happened. I think since this was a peer-to-peer environment, that there was a print job that was printing when there was another issue in this shared office that has one big switch in the network closet. They rebooted that switch in the middle of the day. For some reason, we haven't figured out why, but that switch rebooted, and I bet you the job was being sent to the printer when that switch got rebooted and it caused a corruption on that directory. And that, from my analysis of piecing together what happened to the events before the problem occurred, which, you know, sometimes is very difficult, but you want to understand when you're, and I'm going through all this effort because I think it's a great exercise in troubleshooting a problem. To get to the root cause, you got to figure out what happened before the problem occurred. Definitely look for any changes that occurred recently. What happened the night before or that morning? Were there any changes? And certainly look to those, investigate them, because you may have to back out those changes or you may have to edit something. So always try to find what happened right before. This is another one from Raul. I have experienced the issue you described, and I have had success time after time by doing the following. Delete the printer from the printer and faxes window. Reboot the PC, add the printer, and when prompted for drivers, do not use the existing. Choose to replace the drivers. Test print and then create your share. Go to the other PCs and test the share. You know, Raul, that's exactly what I did remote, and I had the user reboot the PC, and that did not fix the corrupted directory. But absolutely, this should be the first thing that you try when troubleshooting. Always go delete the driver. Go try to install the new driver. And certainly a lot of times, I would say 8 out of 10 times, that would probably fix the issue. This is from Nancy. I may have missed it, but I don't remember hearing you say you swapped out the USB cable. You know, I never said that, but I did do that. That's a great idea. So thank you again. That's it for my printer problem. And I hope some of these tips help you in resolving printer issues for yourself, for maybe family, friends, coworkers, or your clients. You really came through for me. Thank you. Another little issue, if you are a camera buff, I have a camera, and I think it's the Fujitsu SD1800 or S1800, something like that. And every picture is coming purple on the right-hand side. So that's another frustrating thing that's happening personally that I'm trying to resolve. If anybody is budding photographers out there and have some suggestions for me, and I mean, it's repeatable. I get the same purple, and it's literally on the right-hand side of every picture. Anyway, I figured I'd throw that out there. This is response to the exchange problem that I resolved and I talked about last week, and I got some great feedback, one from Matt that said, don't set the limit to the maximum, because I'm going to be at that maximum point when there's a problem. Set it below the maximum. And I thought that was a great idea, Matt. Thank you. And I took your advice. And Jorge weighed in on the exchange. In regards to your exchange problem with the 18 gig missing registry entry, on a monthly basis, I do a database analysis on all of my exchange servers in order to see who is the guilty ones. We used to call that the mail hog report. And I simply export this information through System Manager. It's very easy. And you do the analysis in Excel. I have been using restrictions on some users, but of course, the big bosses are usually abusing the system. I keep an eye on the information stores at each exchange server just to make sure that we're operating within our boundaries. That's a great idea, Jorge. And it's something I have not added to my monthly maintenance for my retainer clients that have exchange servers. And I think that is something that should be added to the list to check the size of the information store and make sure it's not getting carried away so I don't have an emergency situation like I had with one of my clients. So, you know, you live and learn by example and by doing all this. So I have now added that to my tasks that I check now on at least a monthly basis for all my clients that have exchange servers. Great idea. Great tip. Here's a question in a voicemail format from Charlie. Give a listen.
Hey, Mike. My name is Charlie. I have a question. I'm trying to do with the new Microsoft Live and whatnot what I do with Google. What I mean is contacts, calendar, etc. The only problem is I can't find a way to get my Google Calendar into Live Calendar. If there's an easy way to do this, I haven't found it. In any case, if you know how I can import my Google Calendar into the Live Calendar, the online calendar, I'd appreciate the help. Thank you very much, by the way. I love your show. I've been listening ever since the beginning.
Charlie, thank you for that question. I have never used the Live like you are, and he needs a way to import from the Google Calendar to the Live Calendar. If anybody has tips, a utility, well, hopefully open source, or is there instructions on how to easily do that, please email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. I will pass it on to Charlie, and I will discuss it in the next show. I know someone out there has had to have went through that. And that's the great thing about this show. I am the conduit between the problems and the solutions. I don't have a solution to everything. and that's where you come in to help me out. Here's a print driver issue, and this is from Jim. He says, Mike, thank you for taking the time to read this, and I apologize in advance for the length of this message. I work for a large franchisee of a major fast food chain. Recently, we began upgrading our POS, that's point of sales, systems, due primarily to the new stricter PCI requirements. Early in the upgrade process, I discovered a problem. When a customer places an order, labels are printed to a thermal printer that is attached via parallel port. The average order will generate 4 labels. A busy location on a busy night can generate over 200 labels per hour for several hours. The old configuration was Windows 2000 client server configuration, which allowed for the print driver, which is specific for this application, to reside on a FAT client where I choose to connect the printer. The typical installation of this system would usually have a parallel cable, typically 50 feet, connecting the label printer directly to the server. But since our organization wanted a client in close proximity to the printer anyway, I never saw a need to add another cable. And this method was supported by the application. Now we have a new configuration, which uses a server with XP and has a virtual machine which runs server 2003. All of the workstations now run a terminal services console, which allows for using the existing equipment, yet also allows up to replace equipment with the thin client as fat clients fail. With this configuration, the application-specific print driver now runs as a service and therefore has to be accessed from the server inside the VM. In this scenario, instead of selecting a common port, LPT1, etc., when configuring the printer within the application, the port is defined based on settings in the Windows Printers and Faxes definitions. That port is a print driver, the generic text-only driver provided by Microsoft. It then points to a TCP/IP port, which is the client where the printer is attached. It also uses the Microsoft generic text-only driver. I hope everybody's with me. This may all seem rather complicated, but when small jobs are sent, it seems to work well. The problem is when a location gets busy, the system bogs down. I had many locations report to me that they would have to wait several minutes for labels. So I tested this. I went to a location before open of business one morning and entered an order that would print 50 labels. I watched the print spool on both the client and the server on the VM and timed the print process. The first 11 labels printed okay. And then there was a pause of over a minute before the next group of labels printed. I timed this several times, and the fastest that I could get the job to print was a little over 7 minutes. On my bench, I can get 50 labels on my test box to print in 45 seconds, though I do not expect production printing to be that fast. 7 minutes is not acceptable. I check with the vendor, and they tell me that this is a Windows problem, and their solution is to connect the label printer to the server. They do not seem interested in finding another solution. This solution would require me to visit over 50 locations in a 250-mile radius and perform this task when the locations are closed. I would like to find another solution. I'm thinking that there is a setting somewhere in Windows or the generic text-only driver. This limits the number of documents being sent to a TCP/IP printer, then puts a delay in before sending another group. I can understand the reasoning behind this. Yes, exactly. And it sounds like there would be some kind of a registry entry that you'd be able to fix this. I can understand the reasoning behind this, but the size of each label is 1.18 KB. So I don't think there is much chance of any issues with the network if I can speed this up. I've tried to find settings that I can adjust to either increase the number of documents being sent or to reduce the delay time, but I cannot find either. Can you direct me into the right direction to find an answer? I'm going to have to think about this and get back to you, Jim. He says, I listen to a lot of podcasts. When I download new episodes of my favorite podcasts, I typically listen to your podcast first because I find that I learn more from your podcast than from almost any other podcast. You do a great job. Thanks for your podcast and many thanks to any help you can offer for this issue. I'm wondering if there's a way to batch in the printing so it's not all dumped at one time. Is there a way to pause it at the workstation? I'm not sure. So what we're going to have to do is let's see if everybody who maybe is everybody listening, try to digest what Jim is doing. And if you can give some suggestions on how he can go about in looking for a way to fix this, let me know. Give me some recommendations, and I will pass it on to Jim. So, Jim, I don't have anything off the top of my head for this, but I'm going to give it some thought and get back to you and also then mention it in the next show. This is from Mike, and a lot of times I get press releases of software and items. I get hundreds of them, and I never share them. This is one I want to check out because it may be something that you might be interested in, and it's network documentation. And this is a way where you can automatically generate the network diagrams and drawings for your network, and it's called NetDepict, NetDepict.com. And you can schedule snapshots of your network at defined intervals whenever you add a device or whenever you institute an engineering change, record compliance of implemented changes, perform in-the-field assessments of prospective and active customer networks, add detail and specify to customer proposals and reports to upper management, create views of impaired network devices, segments to expedite the discovery of what's going wrong. So looks interesting, and I will have a link in the show notes. This is from Rick, and he says, before I ask my question, I wanted to let you know I'm one of your many admirers. Your podcast has given me many hours of enjoyment while traveling, and I am a devoted fan of the show. I work for a small company that has thousands of photos that we are trying to keep track of. We tried using SharePoint to tag and organize, but it runs too slow that it is not usable. We really like Windows Live Photo Gallery. It has everything we need, except you cannot network and share the photos through our Exchange server. That is true with Picasa and several other free programs. My IT guy has found several commercial programs, but they are very sophisticated and way out of our budget. Do you have any suggestions? Best regards, Rick. There is a site for add-ins for Outlook and Exchange called Slipstick. It's a great website for anything about Exchange, anything about Outlook. I would begin there looking for add-ins. I'm afraid since you want to tie it into Exchange, you're going to pay some bucks. I don't think you're going to find a free solution. Anything that touches the server and anything that goes near and touches Exchange server, there ends up being a price tag to it. And there's a reason for that, because there's so many businesses that have Exchange server. And usually if you're running Exchange, you are a business, and therefore you're going to pay for whatever it takes to have antivirus, to have anti-spam. You're not going to find a lot of free solutions. So unfortunately, unless you want to, you know, not include it in Exchange and use a Flickr type solution, you know, for online, for storing all of your pictures and tagging them, boy, I can't think of an inexpensive solution. So you might have to raise the bar a little bit and come up with a budget that you are going to spend some money. And then you're just going to have to figure out how much are you willing to spend. But if you got some suggestions that for Rick, please let me know how you're handling photos and making it part of Exchange. And small business specialist recommended just what I was going to recommend, and that's SharePoint. But he tried SharePoint, and they find that that's too slow. And he says, get a better server. And that is possible. If SharePoint's too slow, then he's right. You may need more memory, faster server. Is your network gigabit? You know, gigabit switches are so cheap, and gigabit cards. There's no reason in a business that you should not be running gigabit right now, because it's very, very inexpensive. This is from Tom in Boston. Mike, I found out this past week that Comcast has implemented a net metering solution that is easily accessed at their website. You just log into your account and you can view it. I guess it will be interesting to see what our usage is like. I cannot imagine we'd be close to the 250 gig cap. I attached a screenshot of the page I view when checking consumption. So on another note, one of your listeners wrote to you a few weeks ago about a detailed recovery strategy where he gave 5 or 6 succinct steps on recovering from a malware attack. I hope you documented this and added it to your show notes. It was probably 6 or 8 weeks ago. Some of the tips and suggestions were very helpful. I've actually done a Tech Vets show, Carrie and I, on attacking malware infestations. And we have some step-by-step guides to that, so I will put a link to that show. It says, my daughter's computer got attacked by something called Internet Security 2010. This was back around Christmas time, and it was fairly severe. The infection was far more clever than I'd ever seen before, and it successfully shut down many of my attempts to remove it. I ended up spending around 14 to 15 hours on it, and believe I was about 95% successful in removing it, but couldn't get the last 5% corrected. The system would just keep rebooting itself. I quit at that point and reburned the system. I'm a big fan of the show and listen to every episode at least twice. I really enjoy it. Thanks for all you do, Tom. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for your comments. And I hope you had an easy solution for burning. That's why you want to have a solid backup solution in place and also test the recovery, because if you don't test your backup solution, well, it's not a real good backup solution. You have to test and you have to bite the bullet and go through a recovery process to make sure to double check that process, because you will need it. And I always like an imaging solution as part of that, and then also a daily of copying the data off. This is from Dean. Screws and such. I love this. Mike, just finished listening to your last couple of shows, and one of them you mentioned that you had to purchase screws for your inventory. Just wanted to let you know that if you need parts, I have plenty to share. One of the programs I work with refurbishes used computers and gives them to families that can't afford a computer. As part of this program, we end up recycling about 50 to 70% of our donation. I have lots of screws, case parts, slot blades, drive brackets, drives, cards, memory, and cables. This is great. Dean, I really appreciate that offer. And there is one particular screw that I need that I'm going to be emailing you. And it is a long flathead screw. And it's got to have a flathead that could go into the side of an external case that can keep the drive steady that you mount into one of those enclosures. I need a couple of those screws. This is from Will. Hello, Mike. I have just come across your podcast and have absolutely loved them. I have a quick question for you. I have been a network manager for a large law firm for 13 years. I'm ready to move on and start a consulting business. I have told the law firm that this will be my last year with them, and they have expressed an interest in becoming my first client. Hey, that's great. That's very risky, and that's very good that that's happened. The firm has 24 lawyers and around 65 staff members. I think this is a great opportunity, and I have a great relationship with them. I would love to hear any advice you have on this. The timing of this question is great, because I want to welcome a new affiliate to the Mike Tech Show podcast, and that is the Tech Nibble Computer Business Kit. I was so glad that Bryce reached out to me to ask if I could link to his computer business kit. I have used this. This has helped me start my business. You get sample sales letter, maintenance contracts, sample checklists, work orders, a backup checklist, invoice samples, computer repair work log, payment overdue letters. These are templates that are an absolute necessity when you are starting a business, because these are forms that you just don't have access to and they're hard to obtain on the internet. And Bryce has put an incredible kit together. I'm going to have a link, and I strongly recommend, if you are thinking about starting a business, maybe you've just started, or you know what, you're doing computer repair, you're doing consulting, and you're getting behind in these kind of forms and checklists, and it will help you organize everything. It's a great computer business kit. Link will be on the left-hand side of the website and in the show notes. And the timing of that question and the timing of the affiliate relationship that I have is fantastic. And I know a lot of you are going to use it and you're going to love it. I have some, I was going to say independent music, but it's not quite independent. Let's say it's when in doubt, when I haven't had time to pick music, when in doubt, we go to the Pearl Jam bootleg archives. This was the last concert at the Spectrum. One of my favorite songs, Black. Give a listen. Yeah. And this is, of course, Pearl Jam and the song Black Live, Halloween night, 2009, the Philadelphia Spectrum, the last concert. And I attended that with my son and his wife and had a great time. So hope you enjoyed that. And with that, we come to the end of the show, and I want to thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link and all of the affiliate links. I really appreciate it. It helps support the show, and check that out on the left-hand side of the website. If you use any of those products, click on the link, and it doesn't increase your price, and some of them actually give you a discount, so that's a great help to the show. That's it. Thank you very, very much for supporting the show, staying with me, and downloading it. Just thank you so much for being part of the Mike Tech Show family. Good night. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.